It's Wednesday, January 26th. I'm Mike Adams here. It's a miracle that I can even speak to you today. You can hear my voice is still a little fragile, but I didn't think I was going to be able to speak for 1 to 2 weeks. If you heard my voice 24 hours ago, it sounded like, I'm not even kidding, it sounded like the grunts of a horny goat. It was like, like that, the crazy sounds. I would say hi to my dogs and they would look at me like, who are you? That's when your voice is bad, when you can't even talk to your own animals. But I received so many texts and emails from people, and people were saying they're praying for me, which I'm really touched by that, praying for me and praying that my voice was restored, because they said my voice was very important for our world and our time, what's going on right now. And I don't know what to say. I'm humbled by that. And I think that it's their prayers and it's God's will that I can speak today, because I've had that kind of throat destruction, laryngitis type of thing. I don't know what to call it or how to diagnose it exactly, but it just wrecked my voice box. I couldn't speak. I've had that before in years past, and it has always been a couple of weeks before I could speak even the way I'm speaking right now. And then, thanks to your prayers and thanks to God's will and the guidance of taking ivermectin and doing all these other things, and I'll mention some of the things that I've been doing, my voice just miraculously recovered in the last 24 hours. I could not believe it. And I decided I'm just going to go ahead and record this to send you a word of thanks and blessings, and to let you know that I'm okay and I'm recovering rapidly. And whatever I was hit with, I'm going to talk about that for a minute. Let me tell you, a lot of people are being hit. And this is I believe it's aerosolized nanoparticle attacks. And it's hitting a lot of people in the Patriot community or the Truth community, whatever you want to call it. Someone had posted a comment beneath my little 1 minute video from Monday. And the comment was that here's a list of some of the people who are all suffering a similar kind of attack on their voices right now. And it was it included Jeffrey Prather, Red Pill 78, Max Egan, Monkey Works, Greg Hunter, Dr. Zelenko, Salty Cracker, I'm not sure who that is. Canam Missing Project, I'm not sure who that is either. But anyway, there's a growing list. And then I got another email. Well, I got many, but one email is from a woman who I've interviewed before, but I'm not sure if she wants me to release her name on this. But she says, I wanted to let you know I got poisoned too. I was at a salon and a freshly boosted person served me. The next day I developed fever and that horrible headache that I've gotten before from a vax person, as I do not normally suffer headaches. Then I lost my sense of smell and taste. It's been 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks. By the way, I never lost any sense of smell or taste. Thank God. In fact, whatever hit me, it didn't take me out cognitively. It took out my voice. And what this allowed me to do, and again, maybe this is the way God works, it allowed me to have a few days off of not doing the podcast, but my brain was working full strength, so I kept coming up with crazy things. I mean, let me state that again, exciting things, like radical ideas that I'm already putting into action. And I came to realize that if I had been doing podcasts on those days, I wouldn't have had the time to do these other things that I was planning out and scripting out. Some really great, really great projects, content projects that you're going to love. So, a blessing in disguise. And also, I kept listening to the what was I listening to? An audio summary of the biography of Jesus Christ, right? Just kind of detailing his life. And this one section kept focusing on all the times that he healed people, that he would heal you know, crippled people, a man that had to be carried up to the temple each day, but he healed him, and then he healed the blind and the sick and so on. Jesus was just always just healing people just by saying, and then the people around him would say, "Oh my gosh, how did you do that?" You know, and Jesus would say, "It wasn't me. It's all the Lord. How can you not understand? You just watch this dude get healed in an instant. Obviously, that's God." Basically, that's I'm paraphrasing. But I kept listening to that, and you know, different things about and the Romans were trying to make sure that no one would touch Jesus's body after they had murdered him and stabbed him with a spear and everything. But then for me to experience this seemingly miraculous voice healing in the same time frame that I'm listening to Jesus's healing miracles of other people, it was just like, wow, I feel like he touched me too. And I'm reminded that sometimes Jesus would even confer miracles on people that he needed to awaken to the reality of divine miracles, like Saul. You know, Saul, if I'm remembering this correctly, Saul was at first he was trying to persecute followers of Christ, and then somehow he was afflicted with blindness and was told to go somewhere and meet a healer, and then the Lord worked through the healer and took away Saul's blindness, and suddenly Saul could see again, and then he became a strong advocate for Christianity and followers of Jesus. Anyway, look, you know I'm not a Bible scholar, so I may be getting some of the details wrong, but the point is that healing can be used strategically by God, not just to heal someone, but to send a message to someone. And so I've been wondering, what's the message of why am I able to speak today when I thought it was going to be another, you know, week or two? What's the message? Or similarly, what's the message when he has healed so many other people who have been threatened by the hospital homicide system? Or, you know, think about murder by ventilation, murder by ventilators, and so on. In some cases, God has intervened and saved people. And I have no doubt for each person, there is a purpose, there's a reason for that. And for myself, I don't always know the answer, but I suppose that he gave me back my voice because he wants me to use it, and to use it to keep fighting for humanity. Well, maybe that's not even the right metaphor, but to help awaken and uplift humanity. And in doing so, frankly, help spread the gospel. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you that my life has been normal these last a few months. There have been divine interventions. You remember me talking about the Tonga volcano vision and the instant knowing that was given to me. That was on January 9th, and how I was given the knowledge of what was going to happen. And it all happened in 5 days. And that's not a normal, I mean, it hasn't been a normal part of my experience to have premonition. And what I'm living is one of the key realizations of faith, which is that in faith, it's not just a cognitive surrendering to the idea that a greater power is guiding your life. It's not just that. It's not just cognitive. It is. It has to be experiential. It's that you are experiencing your life, your path being maneuvered in certain ways that are completely outside of your control. And I think that for people who are, you know, type A personalities and super achievers and super producers and so on, I think those people have the most difficult time at letting go of the experience of their lives and handing the reins to a higher power, because, you know, type A personalities are used to having total control over the outcome and being able to create the outcome specifically that they desire, because they are good at getting things done. And that's me. I mean, I'm good at getting things done. I'm good at producing, you know, content and books and videos and podcasts and so on and so forth. But what I've really learned recently is you don't have to be in control to be effective. You simply have to be in faith. And you don't even have to understand each step. You don't have to go crazy trying to. You don't fret, because if you're in the good graces of the Lord, and each of us is in that place, if you've, you know, accepted Jesus into your life. I don't mean to preach here. I'm sharing with you my experience, and I know not everybody's into the scripture, that's fine, but I'm telling you what my experience has been here. That when you're in the good graces of God, you have nothing to fear from not micromanaging everything that happens to you. Put your faith in God to lead you and show you and direct you, even in suffering. There might be an important objective that is only achieved through some difficulty that you face. There might be an important realization, a lesson. Who knows? But you don't have to be the all-powerful force in your own life in every moment. Sometimes it's okay to let the Lord in the driver's seat. Someone argue maybe you should do that every day, asking, you know, Lord, what would you wish for me today? How can I serve you today? And I think a lot of really dedicated Christians, I think that's what they do daily, is they ask that question. Maybe I should ask it more deliberately as well, but I guess I don't verbalize it privately that much, but I do live it. I listen to what I think God is showing me or telling me. I listen like never before. I am so open now to greater wisdom, you know, seeping into my day-to-day life. And whatever that looks like, it's fine with me. So anyway, to preserve my voice here and continue the healing, I'm not gonna talk much longer here today. And I am editing out some coughs. I'm still coughing a little bit. Nevertheless, I want to share with you what I was doing in addition to receiving your prayers. Let me share with you what I was doing. I took ivermectin. And in my case, I have agricultural ivermectin, a 1% sterile solution that's made for injecting into cattle. And so I was taking 15 milligrams a day. And I actually only did that for, I did that for 3 days. And then I decided, I was really paying attention to what was going on in my body. I decided that that was enough of a defense. Now, Oh, real quick. I'm not sure what I got hit with. I'm not sure how the attack vector really happened. It could have been somebody shedding. It could have been an aerosolized assault. And I suspect that's happening a lot. That's what's hitting a lot of the truth tellers, are these, these aerosolized nanoparticle attacks that were described in the EcoHealth Alliance DARPA proposal. And the reason I don't think this was just some regular, COVID strain infection is because for the last 2 years, I've been around. I've been taking care of sick people. I've been around many sick people, and I've never bothered with any, precautions. I never bothered wearing a mask or, frankly, even washing my hands. I'm just never afraid of being exposed to COVID. And I, even being very close to quite a number of people, never picked up any symptoms whatsoever. And I thought that, at least in the world of virology here, I thought I had COVID back in late 2019. That's when I thought I first got it, because I was quite sick for about almost 3 to 4 weeks back then, around Christmas of 2019. And turns out that a colleague of someone that I had worked with at the lab, like their colleague was in China because they worked with they were consultants for an analytical lab instrument company, and they were in China consulting with, not Wuhan, I don't know, some like chip manufacturing company or something about, heavy metals or something. But that person got it in pretty very early on, like before anybody knew what was happening in the US, and that I got it again around Christmas of 2019. So I thought, man, I've already got antibodies against this whole thing. And plus, I'm doing high amounts of vitamin D and zinc and everything, and take care of my immune system. So I'm not going to flip out and go into panic mode over this thing. Even though I was, but I should add, all of this didn't become apparent to me until about 6 months later. So like when the first COVID hit us in early 2020, I didn't realize that was the same thing I already had, because we hadn't yet figured out how much we were all being manipulated by the so-called leaked videos out of China, and how like Cuomo in New York was murdering elderly by sticking them in hospitals with other infected people. We didn't realize the ventilator murder was aggressive. We didn't realize that there was aerosolized nanoparticles getting dropped on New York City. So, it took a while, maybe more than 6 months. It took a while for that to become obvious. But now, in retrospect, I thought I'd been exposed to this whole thing, and that therefore I don't need to worry about it. And in fact, I didn't need to worry about it until whatever this is hit me. But this is not like a virus. This is like a chemical attack or something, a nanoparticle attack. Something that hit so fast. The whole thing hit me from nothing to full force in about 45 minutes. Like last Thursday evening, I think it was. And that's when I said, holy crap. And I started treating it with, oregano and ginger and a bunch of stuff, and took the first ivermectin. But it came on so fast that it did not follow a pattern of viral replication. And this makes me think that, Thomas Cowan and Andrew Kaufman are really onto something, because you can't explain this, what happened to me. You can't explain this with the you know, the doubling of the virus every X hours, which would produce a parabolic viral particle count in your body that would ramp up over time. And so symptoms would slowly worsen over time. None of that happened. It was like flipping a switch. It was just on, which is very odd. I've not experienced that before. So I'm wondering if it was exposure. It was just exposure to a nanoparticle weapon. Something was aerosolized. Something, I don't know what the delivery mechanism. It's kind of scary that I don't know what vectors of attack were used. I remember when I interviewed Steve Quayle, and he got hit with what he believes is a genetically targeted biological weapon. And as he explained it, they literally just had helicopters over his house and just, you know, airdropped it, basically. They basically just fogged his property with, you know, the anti-Steve Quayle nanoparticles, and they almost killed him. But, you know, thank God he survived, and the things he went through in order to do that are extraordinary. And thank God he's with us. You know, lost too many people already, like Greg Caton. We can't afford to lose more good people. So, you know, I was thinking about that mechanism, but I don't have any helicopters flying over my ranch, or I don't recall seeing any drones or low-flying aircraft or anything like that. So I honestly don't know what the vector is. But I do know, if not for the knowledge of what you and I have gained over these past couple of years, the knowledge of how to save our own lives, I could have easily been killed. Easily. Just because it came on so fast, but I just started hitting it. I hit it with ivermectin. Now, the fact that ivermectin worked against it so rapidly, the first dose of 15 milligrams just immediately halted the worsening of the symptoms. And, you know, you always have to go back and wonder, like, why does a dewormer work against a supposed virus? See, so that has never added up either. If, you know, ivermectin is an anti-parasitic medication. So, you know, what's the parasite here? Now, you know, I understand there's also protease inhibitors, some effects of that in the drug, and that can interfere with viral replication, at least theoretically. So I don't know, maybe there is some conventional explanation, but I always thought it was very strange that the things that work against supposed COVID are things that work against, like, malaria and parasites and worms and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot of spooky questions about this, and it just adds to the theory that we're getting hit with, like, nanoparticles. Like, there must be a synthesis lab somewhere. They're just cranking out nanoparticles and then shipping them off to teams to try to, you know, strike down people. Sometimes they drop them on a whole city like New York City. Other times they try to hit a festival, you know, like, or these events where a lot of people have been getting sick at the events. In any case, I guess another possible explanation is that it's just some new super strain, but that, again, that doesn't make sense to me, because I'm pretty sure my natural immunity, and I know I have immunity against every possible strain because I've been around so many infected people. I mean, there's no question I've got, like, full spectrum immunity against any strain of this thing. There's no way just some minor change would have infected me. So this would have to be something totally new. And then you saw the news the other day with that truckload of lab monkeys crashed was that in Virginia or somewhere? And there's monkeys running around the streets, you know? I think they were CDC monkeys. And by the way, it's just so cruel that they're doing all this research on primates. That should be a crime. I mean, using monkeys so they can make money off new drugs or make new injections to kill humans. I mean, it's just so, the level of cruelty and evil and demonism is just unfathomable. But these monkeys, it almost seemed to me like, you know, because they're going to use these monkeys for Ebola research and things like that. It seems like they could have staged a crash to let monkeys loose so they could have, you know, an excuse. Oh my gosh, now we're being hit with Ebola. It escaped. It escaped in the truck crash. Seems like they're setting up an agenda to have, you know, a narrative for that. So let me just put the word out for any monkeys listening. If you do escape, come to my ranch. Because I've got bananas. And I will offer you primate sanctuary against the CDC researchers. They will have to fight their way through me to get to you. That's right. That's right. If you're a research monkey, try to have a crash somewhere in Central Texas and get to my ranch. It'd be like the Underground Railroad for primate freedom. Okay, but in terms of the other things that I was using beyond ivermectin, I use chlorine dioxide pretty consistently. I only do 5 drops at a time. This is 5, 5, and 5. Drink that. Let's see. I'm using, of course, zinc and quercetin. I'm using natokinase and then some basil extract. I'm not sure that does anything for, you know, any particular virus, but I know it's real good for just immune function in general. And I like the way it feels. I was taking quite a bit of black seed oil, which, you know, I've read about that. I was taking lactoferrin, colostrum, and then at one time I even tried the combination because we had written about it on Natural News, of lactoferrin and diphenhydramine, which is Benadryl. And I took that one time and then I stopped doing that because I didn't like the way it made my whole nasal system feel too dry. I was like, man, that's some pretty strong stuff. I'm just gonna not do that. I whipped up my own throat spray from colloidal silver. And what else did I put in it? Oh, I put some aloe vera in the throat spray and then a couple of herbs. I've been spraying with that pretty consistently. And then just resting as needed and listening to my body and, you know, just not stressing out, not pushing myself too hard, just making sure I give myself the time that's needed, and, you know, lots of warm water, hot cocoa, you know, in our case, actually hot cacao powder. The only sweetener I use is palm sugar. I don't even use very much of that. And what else? Well, of course, you know, my smoothies with the salad greens and everything. So that's pretty much what I did. And then when I wasn't recording podcasts, I was dreaming up some new projects that you'll hear about soon. So that's pretty much what I've been doing. And some people were freaking out, and I heard some very concerned individuals. Some people thought that they had gotten to me or something, that they had taken me down. And no, they tried, but they only kind of, they gave me a few days to brainstorm. But thanks to you, I'm back. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. For the next few days, I'll turn in a short podcast based on the headlines, but I'm not going to push it until I feel more like 95% with my voice. Notice that OSHA has pulled the vaccine mandate. That's huge. Some other headlines. A German minister says, it was a software error that they ended up basing their decisions on to punish the unvaccinated. So they've apologized for that. This other story is so bizarre. The unvaccinated will be allowed to buy milk in Quebec. So, okay, I'm still trying to sort this one out, but it's absolutely true. If you're unvaccinated in Quebec and you walk into a big box store, you have to be accompanied by an employee who will make sure you're not there to buy something else like socks or a toaster oven. That's from a tweet. You can buy milk and only certain items. Like you can probably, they might let you buy a bag of rice or, I don't know, cereal or whatever, bottled water. So if you're unvaccinated, you now have to have an escort. And I'm sure they make you wear a mask the whole time. So what is this? So let me get this straight. If you're morbidly obese and diabetic and have heart disease, you can buy, you know, cigarettes and Pop-Tarts and, you know, Oreo cookies and Crisco. But if you're unvaccinated, healthy, and have a good immune system, you're only allowed to buy milk and rice and beans. It's like, what? I just can't believe that. I mean, the Canadian officials have just lost their minds completely. They're pathetic. It's a mental illness, frankly, is what we're witnessing. You know what? I'm gonna play this one for you because you probably won't even believe it until you hear it. Here's 30 seconds. Check this out.
Today, big box stores that have a footprint of 1,500 square meters or more are going to have to ask people, customers, to show proof of vaccination. Now, pharmacies and grocery will be exempt from this. So if you're going into a Costco or a Walmart or something like that, where you might be going in to buy groceries or visit the pharmacy, in that case, an employee will have to be with that person as they walk through the store to make sure that they do not go and buy other products or other items that might be in the store. Now,
all right. So what if you're trying to buy vitamin D? It's probably illegal. You know, the Canadian government probably says, well, if you're unvaccinated, you're not allowed to buy supplements. How dare you? Meanwhile, the vaccinated people don't want supplements anyway. They're already death cult members who don't know it yet, but they're probably just a few months or years away from a, you know, a cancer death. But you're the bad guy or gal for being unvaccinated and taking care of your health and wanting to actually purchase, I don't know, superfood bars or something in the health food aisle. Not allowed. It's talk about a twisted, upside down, demonic world. It's what we're living in, folks. I mean, you know that, and it's just the insanity of this is—it's so mind-boggling. I can't wait to look back on this. After, well, let's assume the mass formation psychosis finally clears at one point. We should pray for that. After that, people snap out of it. They're going to look back at this and it's like, oh my God, how did we all lose our minds? Yeah, well, I'm wondering that now while we're in it. I mean, it's one thing, like the New York Times woman who was on with Bill Maher, she's come out, you know, she says, I've had it. I'm not taking any more boosters. This is nonsense. Like, yeah, how come you didn't see that a year ago? I mean, why now? But whatever, it's a messed up world. Tell you what, I'm going to wrap it up here to preserve my voice and allow the healing to continue so I can come back full force real soon here. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support and let you know I am blessed to be here. I'm honored. And and they failed to take me down. So we all must remain vigilant. We have to continue to take care of our health. You know, the quality of our blood matters. It's what allows us to make it through these things. These nanoparticle attacks are attacks on your blood, your neurology, your heart, perhaps, you know, your lungs, whatever the weapon vector is. The better your health is, obviously, the stronger defense you can mount against these attacks. So keep that in mind. This is the time to double down on being healthy and being prepared. So just want to mention too, my Ghost World book is launched. You can download it now. Just go to ghostworld.co and you just have to enter your email address there, which subscribes you to the Natural News newsletter. You're probably already subscribed to it. And then you'll be able to download all the MP3 files and the printable PDF. So that's Ghost World. And already getting some good feedback on that. Check it out. And of course, it's free. And then Battlefield America, this is the 5-part interview series with Steve Quayle. We're just about to get that posted. Few more days, I'll keep you posted on that. And then the next thing coming up is resilient prepping. That's still a few weeks out, but I just want to give you a heads up on what's out there. Anyway, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. I'm really blessed and fortunate to be able to speak with you today, period. Be able to speak at all. Be able to even speak with my dogs. Oh my. All right. Have a great day. Hopefully I'll be back with you tomorrow with another short update.